selfish sexual man normally uses the act of love to ejaculate, to release his pent-up psychic aggression. In his so-called lovemaking, he habitually uses the woman for his own sexual gratification. In extreme cases of sexual aggression, man can possess the woman with a devilish sexual energy. He trains her to excite him to fever point, so that in intercourse she becomes a gyrating robotic performer. During the act, he contains his orgasm by rigid mental control, a practiced and efficient hardness derived from his sense of power over the woman. He enjoys being able to degrade her, to degrade love with excitement, a devilish pleasure. He enjoys the manipulation of her more than he enjoys orgasm. The woman, with a chronically excited vagina, lined with male sexuality, then becomes what she hates. She becomes 25% sexual male. I said that the man in this case is devilish. But I must also say that no individual man is all devil. All men have their moments of being love. The devil is a psychic possession in the subconscious, and in that sense it is the man, but it is not the man all the time. Man must learn to make love without being selfishly sexual. As he learns to love or enjoy woman without needing an orgasm to release his sexuality, he starts to love her rightly. He delights her, and delights in her, rather than aiming to excite her and himself. Man learns to make love rightly in this way by reducing his normal male level of sexual excitation, and he does this by cutting out sexual fantasy. It is possible to fantasize about sex but not about love. In love, the still image of the beloved is held in the consciousness. No movement, no thinking, just the energetic presence of the love. When fantasy takes over and erotic moving pictures take on a life of their own, love is deserted for the male-induced mentality of the sex shop. Woman, as a rule, does not fantasize about sex as much as man, because sex is not as gratifying for her. It only serves to gratify the sexual excitement man has put into her. Woman knows deep down that love is not sex. Her main fault is that from childhood she fantasizes about romantic love and daydreams of mythically amorous situations. The selfishness of man's actual physical loving of her collides violently with this entrancement. Very soon she subconsciously acquires emotions of disappointment, disillusionment, and frustration with man's idea of love. But what can she do when experience shows her that there's nothing else but sex and selfishness, that love is apparently a dream? So she joins man in his fantasizing, his dream, and leaves her dream behind. The suppression festers in her as doubt, fear, and in extremes, a subconscious hatred of man for his failure or betrayal. Man can never be happy for long until he has made sufficient love to replace his selfish attachment to sexual games playing and sexual entertainment. Since world progress is his own clever invention to escape this responsibility, he has devised almost foolproof contraception methods, chemical, the pill, surgical, vasectomy, to ensure the service of his own pleasure at the expense of love. The downside of this, there's always a downside to selfish pleasure, is the unstoppable burgeoning of the world population. The need to control the birth rate on the planet arose only because man lost sexual control of himself, releasing sperm when he masturbates outside the vagina, and ejaculating inside as a matter of course. When time and the world were very young, and man and woman made love like gods, it was a great privilege to be present in the body on earth. Since man was responsible to love or woman, the population was kept very small. Man did ejaculate in lovemaking, but very rarely, and the moment was determined by the divine intelligence, love itself, with which he was united.